So I came by a quote recently, and I thought it was quite humorous. This individual said, "Hey, I just spent $30 on apples at Whole Foods, and then I dropped both of them." Took a second there. And that was comedy writer Megan Amran. But I think maybe it took you a second to get the joke there, because you're like, yeah, things are expensive now, right? Like, food is so expensive. My family, we finally succumbed to the pressure and we raised our food budget, you know, because, well, we've got teenagers and they eat a lot. And apparently I eat a lot. But, you know, so food's getting like really, really expensive. But the challenge here is as food becomes less affordable, it's causing us to lean even more into a trend that was already taking place in our society where we don't eat together, where we don't have people over for food, where we don't invite people out for food. And yet the challenge in all of this is that sharing a meal, eating together, is one of the best ways to connect with others and to help yourself. Now, we're in this series, When You Don't Know How to Share, Just Bless. And what we're doing in this series is we are recognizing that while we are called by God to tell people about Him and what He's done, that it really can be challenging for us to figure out how to do that. How do I just walk up to someone and start sharing? Well, unless there's a prompting of the Spirit, you're probably not going to. And so we introduce the blessed paradigm, which stands for begin with prayer, listen, eat, serve, and share. And so today, if the food thing didn't already cause you to figure it out, we're talking about eating, okay? The third thing in this blessed paradigm, and it truly is an important element. It is so important that, did you know that when you are planning an alpha, so alpha is kind of an evangelistic, new to the faith, kind of program that uses videos and discussion and teaching and all of that, an experience weekend to bring people together who might otherwise not get that information, who might otherwise not meet Jesus. And it's been a highly effective tool for drawing people together and reaching people with the love of Jesus. And in their non-negotiables, the things that they say, if you are running an alpha, you cannot discard this section, is food. I know, you'd think that they'd be like bringing your Bible or something like that, but they're like, you have to have food. We don't care if it's cookies, but it's got to be food that you guys can eat and enjoy and that makes people want to come back, because there's something about eating together. There is something about having food together that draws people closer. So that's what we're going to talk about today, is how we can break through barriers, whether you're a Christian or not, how you can begin to connect with people better, and for those that are followers of Jesus in the room, with the hope that through that connection you can impact people for Jesus. So Heavenly Father, today I ask that you would move in our hearts and our lives, and that you would help us to hear from you today, to find ourselves encouraged and pushed, and Lord, that you would truly use us as your agents out in our community. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, I want to read from you from a book of the Bible called Matthew. So Matthew is the eyewitness account recorded down of one of Jesus' followers. In fact, the story we're reading today is about Matthew. And so we're just going to dive in. Matthew chapter 9, and this is what we read in the Bible here. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew. Okay, this ain't, there we go. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at his tax collector's booth. Now, you need to understand here that tax collectors were considered despicable people by the Jews, okay? We got to understand that right off the bat. First of all, they're collecting taxes for the nation that has conquered and is oppressing the people of Judea. But on top of that, tax collectors were renowned for adding a little extra on top. So they'd be like, hey, yes, you owe 5 gold pieces. However, you have to pay 6. Well, I'm not going to pay 6. Why would I do it if I only owe 5? Well, then we're just going to mark down unpaid. And so people hated tax collectors. And so here's Jesus. He walks up to a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth, and he says, follow me and be my disciple. And so Matthew got up and followed him. Look at this, though. Later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and disreputable sinners. Now, for some of us, we're like, you know, if Jesus were around today and we saw the company that he was keeping and the places that he was going to eat, we'd be like, we need to pray for that man. He obviously does not love God. He is backsliding. But this is the Son of God. In fact, this is God in human flesh. And there he is, eating in a tax collector's home with other tax collectors and disreputable sinners. And I love the fact that they don't even tell you what kind of disreputable sinners. They just leave it up to your imagination. Right? So maybe you have the mobsters there or something like that. You've got you've got the prostitutes there. You've got the thieves guild. I don't know what you got there. You just got like every kind of disreputable sinner that society would have outcast at the time. And then apparently the religious teachers of the day see it and they ask Jesus' disciples, his followers, why does your teacher eat with such scum? Whew. What I find interesting is for many of us, like we read the Bible and we have no issues sitting there being like, those Pharisees were really lousy people. And then we go out and we do exactly what the Pharisees do. Right? Like, oh, I can't invite those people over because, man, I might hear an F word. I can't have those people around because their lifestyle might rub off on my kids. What does Jesus do? He invites these people over. Or he goes to their houses. In fact, in another place, what do we see? We see that people talk about how the Son of Man, that's Jesus' way of referring to himself, that he must be a glutton and a drunkard because he's always at the parties. He's always at the dinner table with these people. And that's not to say that he was getting drunk or anything like that, because he wasn't. But what we see is that Jesus' reputation amongst the religious elite was less important to him than connecting over food and drink with the people that needed him the most. So when Jesus heard the Pharisees, he said, healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. And then he added, now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices, for I have come not to call those who think they're righteous, but those who know they're sinners. See, I find that Christians oftentimes fall into one of two camps. Either, on the one hand, you've got the Christians who limit any kind of deep interaction in their life to like-minded people, right? I don't want to get pulled down. I don't want anybody to think ill of me. So I'm just comfortable having my church friends around. I'm just comfortable having my Christian family around. But on the flip side, we have the Christians who love to interact with their unchurched friends and neighbors and family, which is awesome. But here's the issue, is that those people will often hide their faith, or they'll even change their Christian behavior to better suit those around them. Have you seen that before? Right? Like they sit there and they're like, yeah, I don't swear. I don't cuss. I don't use the Lord's name in vain. I'm all good. And then they get around their friends and all of a sudden they start swearing so much that a sailor would blush. You know what I mean? The dirty jokes start coming out. And everybody's like, this person's great. Sure, they go to church, but there's absolutely no difference. That's not what we're looking for around here. We want to be connected with unchurched people. We want to be engaged with them over food and drink like Jesus was. But we still need to hold our character. And we still need to bring God glory. Now, what I'm not talking about is that every time one of your friends cusses, you go, you know what I mean? You've ever been around one of those people? You got somebody at the table and they use the D word or something like that, and then you hear an audible from that one person in the corner. You ever been around that? It's like, oh yeah, okay. Like, let me share with you. I've been around a lot of unchurched people, right? And one of the things, number one, that they always find interesting is they're always like, man, it throws me because you never swear. I'm like, what do you know? I don't have a limited vocabulary. But then they'll be like, oh, you're a pastor. And so they'll let something slip and they'll be like, I'm so sorry. And I'll be like, for what? Well, I shouldn't swear around a pastor. I'm just like, is it how you normally talk? Yeah. Then just talk. And I'll actually tell people, I'll be like, listen, if you don't change you when you're around me and you're okay with me not changing me when I'm around you, we'll get along just fine. And man, it's like the walls just crumble away. Because no longer are they putting on the filter because they know this person's an upstanding, righteous individual. Instead, they're being them. And then over time, you have the ability to actually rub off on them and impact them. It's amazing. So be who you are, but let them be who they are. But do it with intentionality. Because if the only people that you hang around with are people that don't serve Christ, and you're not intentional about there's a purpose here because I love these people and I want to see them know the God who loves them more deeply than anything they've ever experienced, then you'll begin to go down that same path and you'll start to find that you start to act and behave the same way they are and you might not even realize you're doing it. Your mind will start to develop new pathways. And so we need to be cautious, but look at Jesus. He didn't shy away from hanging out with those that the religious people, the righteous people, cast aside. In fact, I want to share with you that eating with others is actually how Jesus broke down social barriers. And so people would be like, those evil tax collectors. And Jesus would be like, hey, I'm having dinner with you. Right, there was Zacchaeus. You remember that if you went to Sunday school? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he, right? Zacchaeus climbs up into the sycamore tree because he wants to see Jesus as he goes by, and he's a wee little man. And all of a sudden, next thing he knows, he's like, where's Jesus? And then he hears a voice down below him, and Jesus is like, hey, why don't you come down from there? Zacchaeus, I didn't say my name. Oh, why? I'm coming to stay at your house today. Like, do you know what that means? Jesus not only ate at this tax collector's house, he stayed at the tax collector's house. Imagine how scandalous that is. That's like going to Party Central right there. Like, this guy probably had prostitutes coming in and out of his house and was probably well known for all the lascivious living that he did. And there's Jesus, I'm coming to stay at your house today. And in that moment, the barrier of I'm not good enough breaks. And what happens at Zacchaeus' dinner is he goes into the back room and he's like, whatever I have taken from people, whatever extra over the taxes I've charged, I'm going to pay back with interest. Life transformation. Jesus is going to Pharisees' houses, like these upstanding righteous people. And all of a sudden we see that these sinners, these outcasts are coming in because they see that he's there. They used to kind of eat out in the open in their courtyards, and people could see that there was something going on. All of a sudden, you got these people coming in, and the Pharisees are like, ah! They're in my house. And then these people are like weeping and touching Jesus' feet, and they're like, ah! Don't you know they have cooties? And Jesus is like, I love them. God loves them. Why don't you love them? And he breaks down social barriers. Suddenly, you've got righteous people eating with unrighteous people. And unrighteous people are coming to know Jesus. But just in case the social barrier thing isn't something that really grabs you, consider this. Eating with others is actually good for you. Did you know that? The Atlantic ran an article a few years back, and in there they found that the average American, and I know we're not American, okay, but we're close enough, all right? The average American eats 1 in 5 meals in her car. Not eating together, psychologists and sociologists tell us, has a quantifiably negative effect both physically and psychologically. Physically, because we tend to eat worse food when we're not eating together. But also psychologically, because suddenly we're alone. In fact, they continued on in the article. They said, eating alone can be alienating. The dinner table can act as a unifier, a place of community. And so all of a sudden, if you've been alone, if you've been lonely, and you can draw up the courage to go and say, do you want to have coffee? Or you can work up the courage to say, hey, I'm throwing a couple extra hamburgers on the grill after church on Sunday. Do you want to come? You're drawing yourself out of isolation, and not only yourself, but also others out of isolation into community and towards friendship. And that's what we're going for here, because friends are far more receptive to seeing Jesus in your life than a complete stranger is. See, eating with others breaks down barriers. Have you ever experienced that before? Right? Where you're not sure about someone, and then you sit down for a meal with them, and all of a sudden, it's like all your worst fears about the person melt away. Now, I'll be honest. There are times where you eat with someone, and all your worst fears about the person were nothing compared to what they actually should have been. So, all honesty, all fairness, right? Like, sometimes you're like, this person is, it seems like an okay person. Let's eat with them. And then they chew with their mouth open. And you're like, this person is a dirty, rotten sinner. Just telling you. No, but in all seriousness, eating with others breaks down barriers. In fact, Alice Juliet, in her book, Eating Together, says this, dining together can radically shift people's perspectives. It reduces people's perceptions of inequality. And diners tend to view those of different races, genders, and socioeconomic backgrounds as more equal than they would in other social scenarios. So all of a sudden, if you're having lunch or breakfast or brunch or dinner or coffee with somebody, they might be someone that you're like just rolling your eyes as you walk past the past them on the street, and then they invite you out to lunch or to dinner, and you sit down with them, and all of a sudden you're like, this person's a real human being and we're having a conversation. This is amazing.
So that's the big thing here. As I was writing this message, I was sitting there, I was like, this is kind of easy. You know what I mean? Like, eat with people. I like food. Do you like food? I mean, I kind of like people. Do you like people a little bit? Hey, I'll give you a hint, okay? If you're not sure, have a barbecue and then tell them to bring something that you don't have but you really like. Then it's like, oh, I like people more, right? Then you get something out of it, and it helps you feel better about it, okay? Because you're not just extending yourself, you're having them come in. That's just a little hint for those of you that are like, I don't really want to be around people. Don't want to eat with them. Just get them to bring something good. If you know that they make a wicked coconut cream pie, just be like, hey, and you're only allowed coming if you bring that coconut cream pie. Boom. They're like, oh, that's fantastic. I'm having a meal with you. Of course I'll bring my coconut cream pie. And you're like, sweet. I put some hamburgers on the grill. They're bringing a pie. All is good in the world, right? Yeah, it's not so bad. So really what I want you to do is consider in your head, begin to have things shift a little bit, your perspective, where you can begin to say, you know what? I'll share my meals and spend time with the people in my life. I know so-and-so over here. I wave at them when they go to their cubicle, or I nod at them when they're going over there to their area at work, or you know, we have the odd conversation and seem to get along all right, but they seem lonely whenever I'm going through the checkout aisle. Here's an idea. Now, don't be creepy about this, okay, guys? Especially guys. I don't know what it is. Sometimes us guys, like if you're walking up to a lady, you barely know her, and you're like, do you want to come to my place for lunch? But, you know, you walk up to that guy you've had conversations with a lot, and you're like, hey, you know what? I'm throwing a barbecue, and this can be a great thing, too. Start not one-on-one, right? Just have a backyard barbecue and be like, hey, I'm throwing a barbecue, and if you want to come, here's my address. This is when it's happening. Or you have that family member who the family seems to not like, right? Like it's kind of like in Encanto, you know, we don't talk about Bruno. You know, if you got that Bruno in your life, invite him out to dinner, because Bruno's not a bad guy. Like, seriously, it was the family. Bruno got the short end of the stick on that one. He just needed someone to invite him to dinner. That's all. Half of you are like, what? It's an animated film. Need to say more. Find those people in your life. Here's what I want you to do. Consider who can you eat with or have coffee with that is far from God. And then just invite them. They're literally just an invitation away. And unless somebody really, 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 really doesn't want to be around you, generally, if you say the magic words of, I'd like to take you out for, or I'd like to do this, and I'm having fill-in-the-blank tasty thing, usually people are like, when you thinking? Pretty busy, but I might be able to find something that works. Okay? So consider, when can you have a coworker out for lunch, or a neighbor over during the day for a coffee, or a friend or a family member out for some sort of backyard barbecue over the weekend, or whatever it might be? Imagine if suddenly those connections that have been weak in the past, or that person that has seemed closed off, or that you haven't had the opportunity to get to know very well, if suddenly there could be an openness and an equality there, if suddenly you and your loneliness, through stepping out to invite someone into community with you, began to find a friendship blossoming and could actually begin to have opportunities to practice what we talked about last week, where you listen. Imagine what that would begin to do in your social circles, for your loneliness, for their loneliness, for the community at large. We live in a lonely world. And suddenly we could be people that break down loneliness, man, that would be amazing. Heavenly Father, today I just ask that you would be with each one of us. And God, that right now that you would move in us and remind us of that name that we prayed about in the first week there. Remind us who it is that we've been asking for opportunities to reach. And God, I ask right now that you would give us the courage to go and invite that person to eat with us. Because God, you can work through all these different situations that we face, through all these situations that they're in. Over a cup of coffee, lives can be changed. Hearts can be encouraged. Minds can be made up. So God, I thank you right now for those people that you want each of these people to enter into that conversation with. You know, it might be outside your comfort zone to do something like this. It might even be outside the norm. It might be that you are suddenly going out for coffee with someone that makes you incredibly uncomfortable. But you know, Jesus often, as we talked about, went outside the norm to break barriers and to invite others into a genuine relationship with him. He was God. The earth was like Play-Doh in his hands. He could have just mushed it all back up and made something new, but he went, I like these people. They're messed up, they're chaotic, they're broken, they've rejected me. The earth is covered in sin, but I feel responsible. I love these people. I desire a relationship with them. And so what we see is that God loved the world so much that he sent his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. He loves the whole world, and let me tell you, that includes you. You're not excluded from that. Nothing that you've ever done in life excludes you from that love that God has for you. And so Jesus, God, came to earth and took on human flesh. He humbled himself to be born as one of his own creation, fully God and fully man. He experienced hardship. He experienced temptation. And yet in it all, because he had no sin, he was perfect. And as he lived that perfect and holy life and encouraged others to follow his example, as he carried himself with no sin, he accrued the payment for all who would accept it for all time. When he died on that cross and gave it all, he wasn't dying for his own sins, but he was dying for the sins of the world, that whoever would believe on him, whoever would repent and give their lives to him and say, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to live for you. I'm giving my whole life to you. That they would receive forgiveness. That they would receive sonship and daughtership under the King of the universe, the Most High God, our Heavenly Father. That just like Jesus, who could say, Abba, Father, and cry out to him in his moment of need, just like Jesus could do, we suddenly, as well as his adopted children, can run into the throne room of God and fall to our knees and say, Father, Abba, Father, embrace me. I need you. I'm in this fire. I'm in this flood. There's this situation in my life. And suddenly we feel the hand on our shoulder. And we realize that there's another in the fire with us. There's another in the flood, taking the brunt, offering us life. And so today, if you're someone who says, I need that Jesus, I'm not following him, but I need to. I feel the brokenness of the world around me crushing in on me. I've tried to do it my own way and it hasn't worked. I've sought after other religions. I've sought after spiritualities. I've sought after humanism and agnosticism and all of these things. I've tried to live for myself and nothing has filled the hole. Nothing has given me that feeling of unending love, that hope that there is something after this life. Then right now I want to call to you with no one's eyes open, with no one's heads on a swivel or anything like that, everyone with their heads bowed, if you want to give your life to Jesus for the first time today, will you just raise your hand so that I can be thinking about you as we pray this next prayer that we're going to do here online? Go ahead and put in the comments or send the church a message saying, I've decided to follow Jesus. Yes, I'm in. I'm in today. Awesome. Will you all pray this prayer after me? Heavenly Father, thank you for breaking the mold for me. Thank you for stepping out of the status quo. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for eating with sinners like me. Today I want to give you my life. I'm offering it to you. Please give me your life. I ask that you'll forgive me of my sins and that you'll renew my spirit. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit and transform me by your love. I commit today to follow you the rest of my days. And I thank you, Jesus, that when I mess up, you don't leave me, but you pick me up, you dust me off, and you walk alongside me. In Jesus' name, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, if you just prayed that prayer from your heart today and gave your life to Jesus, I want to welcome you into the family of God. We have a Bible and some devotional resources we would love to get into your hands to help you with this next step on your journey in-house here. If you prayed that prayer, grab that Connect card in front of you, fill it out with your information and check off or circle, I've decided to follow Jesus, and give that to Bobby at the back, and we've got a gift for you online. Go to ascc.life and tap on I just gave my life to Jesus. Fill out that form and we'll follow up with you shortly. Everyone, enjoy this marvelously sunny and, based on the flags out there, not windy day, and just kick back, relax, invite someone out for lunch or for some dinner or whatever else that you need to do, and we will see you next week. You're dismissed.